Geeks. Geeks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Kerry G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
Hey, what's up, Geekazoids? This is Kerry G, and you are listening to Metal Geeks.
Metal Geeks!
Indeed.
Hi, I'm John Michael.
Yes, you are, and I, like I said, I am not John Michael. So, how's your week been?
It has been extremely busy.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, and I've been fighting a cold, so sorry to anybody out there who's not in the cold realm right now. Maybe the podcast will get you sick, and I'm sorry.
I don't think germs are spreadable through a podcast. And I hope they don't give people cancer.
Yeah, oh, gosh. Oh, I heard today that smoking marijuana actually stops from cancer metastasizing. So
good, then you forget all about even having it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but overall, my week has been all right. I mean, I've been extremely busy. Haven't really had any time to really geek out, other than sketching. I've been sketching like a madman recently.
Yeah, we need to start posting all your sketches on the Metal Geeks website.
But people who aren't artists, they are the only ones that can look at it. Because all the artists out there who can draw, they're going to look at it and dissect it, and I don't know.
Yeah, but if you never have constructive criticism, you'll never get better.
Damn it. You got me.
That's true, right?
Yeah,
right.
You got me. I did get a compliment,
exactly.
Though. One of the guys on my personal Twitter account, his name's Ed Harris. We've been chit-chatting on Twitter for like the last 2 years about sports, and he's a nerd too, or a geek, and he actually complimented my Spider-Man 2009 picture that I posted last night.
Of the 2099?
Yeah, what did I say? Did I say something?
2009.
See, that's my cold, man.
You need to... when you get your game station hooked up again, you need to play the Shattered Dimensions Spider-Man game.
Really?
That's a lot of fun.
I saw his.
Yeah, some of the levels are Spider-Man 2099.
See, that's sick. Okay, yeah, I'm going to need to do that. But he complimented it. He gave me probably an overzealous compliment, saying that it was better than the original artist, but I greatly appreciate that, but I don't agree. But in any case, hopefully this weekend I'll be able to geek out and do some things. But enough about me. I've been talking too much about myself. How was your week, man?
My week was a week. it was a week. My life is about to get really, really busy. We do get personal on the show, so don't worry about that. I start my semester of school doesn't start till Tuesday, or actually this weekend, Saturday, technically it starts. All my classes got moved back to what they called second start, so I had to wait a month. So starting Tuesday, I have an 8 in the class class at 8 in the morning that goes to 11, and then I have a class from 11 to 1. Then I have I'm the president of our Filmmaker Society, which is our extracurricular program that we have through our filmmaking department.
Right.
We have a meeting then, and then I have another class that evening from 6 to 10. So it's a busy day for me, busy week.
Yeah, wow.
That, and we're filming a movie right now, so my weekends are really filled up with shooting, and I've been producing and assistant directing and casting, and apparently now I'm going to be shooting it too. When the real DP can't be there, I'm going to be shooting on the Red.
Wow.
The Red's an immense, massive killer camera. It's film quality. We are shooting this film in 2K.
I have no idea what that means.
We're filming it in 4K too, which is regular 1080p. It's 1920 by 1080p wide, and 4K is 4,000 pixels wide.
Wow.
So it's double the amount of pixels that you would get in just in an HD movie.
So what are you studying for being what?
My degree actually is filmmaking. It's film, video, and special effects. I've gone through most of the special effects part right now, finishing up some of my film classes that only offered once a year, so I had to wait. I'm just trying to get all my classes finished up.
So special effects, you mean computer CGI stuff or actual makeup?
No, not makeup. We learned After Effects.
Oh, okay.
So I'm able to do a lot of cool stuff. I don't know, like, you couldn't give me a piece from Star Wars and I couldn't recreate that, but I can actually post some of the videos that I did. I'll post a link to my Vimeo account down the road, and you don't have to give me any feedback. Just
No. Hey, if constructive criticism. Hey, yeah. Well, now he's showing me Bugs Bunny Spider-Man.
That's right. Bugs Bunny Spider-Man does not like
that. Well, if I have to post my pictures, you gotta accept the wrath as well.
Last semester, I did a couple of short films, and then I did a. It was supposed to be a short film, but it turned out to be like 20-minute short film.
Yeah,
it was very personal to me. It was called Catharsis, and I'm proud of it. We just had some audio problems that we weren't able to overcome.
I watched that, but actually. I remember that. Did, when you sent that to me. That was really good.
Yeah,
yeah, it was dark, very dark.
It is very dark. Yeah, everybody does like something, you know, bright and bubbly, but I went the totally opposite way.
Yeah.
Another short I did was one of them was called The Deep Sleep, which was it's almost like a Twilight Zone episode. It's about a guy who every time he falls asleep, he'll only sleep physically for 5 minutes, but he loses a year of his life.
Whoa.
Yeah, we filmed it, but then I did a post conversion, everything to black and white, and there's some over the top acting in it.
Yeah. Are you starring in it?
No, I'm not in it. I directed and wrote it and produced it and all that kind of crap. And the other one I did is called Zombie Day. Actually, it was called... I changed it to Mindless Zombie because I wanted to use the Dead Horse song in it. And I actually got permission from Dead Horse, the band, to use that song in the movie. So.
Oh, that's cool.
It's about a zombie having a really bad day. you know, car won't start. His wife is cheating on him and... The only thing he can say is zombie, is brains, I'm sorry. And I'm not going to give away the ending, because the ending is actually pretty funny. So
yeah, it's cool.
We'll have to post the links to those, and no constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Unless it's good.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. And then, you know, so that brings geeky to another level. I mean, you geek out about filmmaking. It's cool.
Yep. I have a lot more in mind. Hopefully this semester I'll be able to pull some of these out of my head and get them done if I have any time. Time is valuable.
Right.
To me. I don't have much of it.
Yeah.
And, but I definitely love spending time doing Metal Geeks and MSRcast, so that's never going away.
Right. Yeah.
Unless the internet goes away and there's no more internet.
Yeah. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No, it's never going to happen. No.
Well, I've been kind of in a lull right now as far as doing my blog posts. I started posting quite a bit and then I had to stop, and I'll admit I am definitely very consistent at not posting. So
right.
It's not a task for me, but I have to be very focused. I'm a type of person that if I have any distractions, I can't write.
Well, I'll start giving you things that you have to do, then you have to get them done.
Oh shit!
I don't want to be that douche, but
yeah, no. Well, deadlines definitely work better for me, but okay. Yeah.
I hope everybody has checked out MSRcast.com. That is where we feature the Metal Geeks and MSRcast blog, and we have a bunch of new writers. They've actually been doing articles and reviews. We're doing everything on there: CD reviews, metal show reviews, game reviews, movie reviews, comic book reviews, just general geekiness. Anything that we feel about writing about,
yeah,
it's there for us to write. And if you are a hardcore fan of the show, we might consider you as a writer.
Yep. Because one thing is for sure that, you know, although we are geeks, there are some things that we just aren't. He keeps making me laugh. You don't see this, guys. He's got a Bugs Bunny he keeps showing at me through the camera. But there's certain things that, you know, like sci-fi. I'm not a big sci-fi fan. I mean, I'll watch particular things, but there's people out there who are hardcore geeks about sci-fi, right, and everything else in between, like Doctor Who. I haven't gotten into it, but, you know.
We might discuss that a little bit later.
All right. Well, cool.
Because that was brought up to us by somebody close to the Metal Geeks family to talk about, and I might have to oblige her.
Well, I think it's cool.
So, a little bit more behind the scenes. We have bought a new domain, which is in the works, and that is metalgeeks.net, which will be forwarded to our regular Metal Geeks blog. So you can go to metalgeeks.net or msrcast.com. It's going to take you to the same place.
Right.
Right now, that is just a generic blog, but we are in the process behind the scenes here. When we have time, we are recreating a brand new website for everybody out there. It's going to be more cohesive. It's going to be better, easily more manageable, easier to find stuff on there, and it's going to be definitely aesthetically pleasing. Not that the one now isn't good looking, but can always make it better.
Absolutely, we're sculpting it. You know, it's like a piece of art. You have to sculpt it and make it perfect.
Right. Exactly.
And then just redo it all over again, over and over and over again.
Once we get a great design, that's it. That's what we're sticking with. So,
well,
guess what else I did last weekend?
What's that?
I went and interviewed a great dude named Mike Fight. And if you don't know who this guy was, I think we talked about him on an earlier episode. Mm-hmm. He was in town at my local tattoo shop, which is Virtue Tattoo. And he was in town for a couple weeks doing a guest stint, which I guess artists do that a lot in the tattoo business. They'll go to different tattoo shops around the country and just do a guest appearance, you know, for a couple weeks and just do tattoos.
Interesting.
We posted the Day of the Dead Darth Vader tattoo that he did before, and he's actually creating a Boba Fett Day of the Dead one for me that I will probably get started when he comes back into town in a few months. But this dude is a huge, major Star Wars geek, and I hope he doesn't take offense for me calling him that, but I think he would be the first guy to admit it, that he's a major Star Wars geek. He lives in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona, and he is part of the 501st there. Do you know what the 501st is?
I do not.
501st is a group of guys. I don't really want to say cosplayers, but they create film-specific costumes from the Star Wars universe, Stormtroopers or, you know, Tusken Raiders. I mean, these are film-quality versions of these characters, and they do it all for charity.
Really?
They'll dress up and, you know, dress up in their costumes, go visit kids that are sick in a hospital. They'll go to premieres, and they'll raise money for all these different organizations, and it's a great thing to really support.
That's really cool.
There's chapters of the 501st everywhere, but this is the first tattoo guy that I've met that's actually in the 501st and is really geeky about it. And we did a really great interview with him at the shop, and I want to get into that now. He talks all about creating costumes and what it takes and, you know, some of the stuff they do for the kids. And it's a great interview, and I'm happy that he was able to be part of the show. So why don't you go ahead and introduce that?
Oh, here's Here is Mike Fight. Is that good?
Gotta play some Star Wars music here.
Yeah. Dun, dun. Start laughing at it.
This is Carrie from Metal Geeks, and I am here at one of my favorite local tattoo shops, Virtue Tattoo, in Stafford. And I am here with one of their guest tattoo artists. His name is Mike Fight, and he's a geek like just like everybody else listening to the show. And I wanted to come in and interview him about everything geeky and tattoos. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, man?
So the first thing I want to talk to you about is you're from Arizona, from Phoenix area, correct?
Right.
And you are part of the 501st. So explain to me what that is and...
The 501st was started years ago by a few guys that just dressed up in Star Wars costumes, and you know it turned into a more of a group, and now it's literally in 50 or 60 countries throughout the world. I mean, I think a garrison just came up in Singapore.
Wow.
So in each kind of major city, there's garrisons that have to have like a minimum of 12 members. I'm in the Dune Sea Garrison, which is in Phoenix, Arizona, and we have squadrons outside of our city that, you know, there's one in Flagstaff, one in Tucson. So what we do is, you know, we just all dress up and, you know, we mostly make our own costumes. So, I mean, most of them are all handmade or, you know, parts from, you know, people that have them and, you know, do charity events for, we do Phoenix Children's Hospital. We raise money for Kids Need to Read. We do things for toy drives. You know, we go out to raise money for the MS walks. So we have a lot of different, you know, things we do, and it's all volunteer. You know, this is all time, you know, that we don't get paid for. It's completely volunteer, and it's just a fun way to be a geek, full-size Star Wars guy, and, you know, and have fun and make kids smile, because honestly, that's what I got it into for. You know, visiting hospitals,
yeah.
and having, you know, the sick kids, you know, going room to room, and they see Darth Vader and, you know, stormtroopers and Boba Fett, and, you know, it's amazing to see these kids just in awe, you know, and it's like for that few seconds, you know, they're not sick anymore. You know, they don't think about that. They think of, oh my God, there's Darth Vader's here to visit me.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
and you know, of course, some of these kids have, you know, never seen the originals, but it's so iconic that, you know, it just brings that happiness to them, which, you know, they need.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I do it, and I love it, and I'm a huge collector, and my wife hates me for it. Trust me.
I was going to talk to you about that, but tell me about, so what kind of costume do you have, and what was the process of making that?
I have a few. I have a Darth Vader from Empire Strikes Back. I have a Snowtrooper, Tusken Raider. I have a TIE Pilot, Red Roll Guard. I have a Sand Trooper, and a all-white TK Stormtrooper. Each individual one, there's makers out there that aren't licensed, but Lucasfilm allows us to make these costumes and wear them. At any point, Lucas can say no more. So we're really bound by George to mm-hmm. let us do this, and he graciously donates to a lot of the charities that all of us do. Going into making some of them is a lot of hard work. I think the hardest one was my Darth Vader, mm-hmm. which took me close to a year to collect. And these aren't Halloween costumes; these are screen accurate. I mean, down to the same material they used, like the wool cape. Yeah. I mean, we've gotten you, and you have to in the 501st. We're really picky. You know, it can't be, you know, some 500-pound guy in a stormtrooper costume, which kind of sucks. You know, because I think it should be for everybody, no matter what size you are.
Right.
You know, you're there to have fun and make everybody happy, but it's not cheap. And it's time consuming, but the end is all well worth it, you know. And I've got all of them on mannequins throughout my house. I've got, you know, a full size Hanan Carbonite that I built. I actually have five to scale Death Star walls that have lights in them and the door slides.
And we need to post pictures of these. I mean,
right?
Yeah, oh, definitely send me some pictures. We'll put them on the blog.
I will for sure.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I've seen the 501st at different comic book conventions, and when I go to Star Wars weekends at Disney World, sometimes they have the local garrison there participating, mm-hmm. like the parades. And
oh yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, we actually do a lot of stuff with the California Garrison, which is called the Southern. I don't know the exact name of their garrison. But we do joint ventures with them, like for the Rose Bowl, you know, Bowl Parade. We go out there and do some of the Lego events at Legoland. We've been invited to do some of the premieres in Hollywood and in L.A. And it's nice because we all do work together and stuff. I mean, I was Darth Vader for the Houston Astros game last year when I was down here doing a guest spot. You know, I went on the field and, you know, met the owner of the Houston Astros, and, you know, we walked around and paraded around and met people, and it was awesome. And it's so cool because you get to meet all those other geeks,
right?
You know, and it's funny to find out, like, some of them are, like, you know, doctors that, you know, it's everybody. It's every walk of life that you know, they're grown up with that Star Wars mentality.
Star Wars is the one transcending thing, and besides food, that right. everybody can agree on.
Right, yeah. And no matter what, yeah, everyone hates Jar Jar Binks.
Yep.
You know, and it's fun stuff. I love it.
So, being a tattoo artist, what have you done many? I know, I've seen a couple of your Star Wars tattoos, especially the Darth Vader Day of the Dead one.
Right.
But what Star Wars tattoos have you been able to do?
I do a lot of these little flip-flop girls that are, you know, they look like bent-over backwards girls that make a skull. And then I've done
right.
a lot of those translated into Star Wars characters, like Yoda, Princess Leia. I actually just did one a few months ago of the Emperor. And he's, you know, got lightning coming out of, you know, her boobs. And, you know, he's got the cloak on. I've done Tusken Raider. I've done a lot of, you know, and it's funny because a lot of my clients in Phoenix know that I'm, you know, in the 501st, and they come to me for Star Wars tattoos. I've just did a really cool old school pinup girl, but she's in a Tusken Raider outfit, you know,
okay.
you know, holding the, you know, the thing above her head, and she's got the Tusken Raider mask on, but her skirt's like really short, and her butt's kind of showing, and I get to do some pretty cool ones. So.
I know definitely one of my next tattoos I'm getting is going to be the Day of the Dead. You're going to work on a Boba Fett for me.
Yes, yes. I've done a few ones where I've taken just the, you know, the Darth Vader mask and kind of turned it into the Day of the Dead. I did another one on the same girl, a Stormtrooper, that turned it into like a Day of the Dead kind of mask. And those are fun because, you know, you kind of take the Star Wars iconic symbols, but you turn them into that tattoo-esque, you know, look, you know, and molding those two together are always cool because it's just so different, but they still, you can see both of those things in it.
So you do guest spots around different tattoo shops around the country.
Oh yeah.
I know you said you're gonna be back here in Houston in a few months.
Yeah, I'm gonna start coming back down to Houston every other month for 4 to 5 days.
Cool.
So I can have an open spot here at Virtue Tattoo. Right. I do guest spots in Reno and LA and San Francisco. So I mean, I get to go out to all these other rooms, and it's funny because when I do guest spots, I try to coincide to see if these garrisons have troops that I can bring one of my costumes with me, and then while I'm out there doing a guest spot, you know, maybe catch a troop with another garrison, you know, while I'm in that city.
Right.
And it usually works out pretty well because then you get to meet even more people, and, you know, if I'm taking my tattoo equipment, even then they get excited. And, you know, I do a lot of, there's another group called the Mando Mercs. The Mandalorians.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, like, the clan of, like, Boba Fett. They're not associated with the 501st, but they're like a sister group. So we do a lot of stuff together, and they're starting to grow even more.
They were at the last big comic Palooza convention here. I got a picture with them.
Yeah, and they were just at C6. They had, I think, the largest number of the Mandalorians that the celebration has ever seen. So it's growing, which I think is cool. And we work together a lot with the Jedi group, and they do stuff. You know, it's like we all just kind of work together for the same goal.
Have you been to any of these? Like you mentioned Celebration 6. Have you been to any of those big Star Wars conventions or a big comic convention?
You know what? I go out to the one in San Diego. I just didn't get a chance to go last year, but I went to the year before. I try to go as much as I can, but with working, you know, and doing my own troops, and
right.
It's tough because I you know, working around my schedule and my family schedule and, you know, the garrison schedule. Yeah, I wish there was, you know, 100 hours in a day instead of just 24.
Or be cloned.
Right, yeah, that would be even better.
So, as far as tattoos, what is the geekiest tattoo you've ever been asked to do?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I'd have to think about it.
Okay.
Nothing comes to mind right away. I think probably... No, I when I did the flip-flop Leia that says, "Kiss me, Luke," above it, on Jay's leg. That, to me, was probably... Oh, yeah. That was probably one of the funniest, cool, you know, Star Wars-related tattoos I've ever done.
And Jay is one of the tattoo artists right here, so we can definitely get a shot of that before we leave.
And he's got, and he also has the Yoda.
The Yoda, I saw the Yoda,
on the other side. So, yeah, those are always fun for me to do.
So, besides Star Wars, what do you geek out about?
I'm Apple fanboy from hell. I love... I waited 9 hours in line for the first iPhone. And this was in Phoenix, and it was 117 degrees.
In the shade.
In the shade. 9 hours in line for the first iPhone. You know, so yeah, I love Apple stuff. I love, you know, gadgets and, you know, things like that. Anything tech, you know, I get into. And I'm a fly fisherman too, so I kind of geek out over that stuff. It's not, you know, too geeky, but
if you geek out on it,
I definitely geek out on it.
And what kind of bands and music do you geek out on?
You know, I like for the last couple of years, I've been getting into a lot of instrumental, like Do Make Say Think. They're not super metal, but they're more that. Kind of like an offshoot of, you know, that doom and gloom.
Who is that called?
It's a Do Make Say Think.
Okay.
I think they're from Canada. It's all instrumental, and it's really like I don't know if you've ever heard of Earth. It's kind of like those guys, but with a little bit more instruments to it. Another one is Mono. They're a Japanese all instrumental band. Of course, I like you know Neurosis and Behemoth and, you know, Witchcraft and, you know, all those guys. A friend of mine in Akron is in the band Rue.
Mm-hmm.
They were popular for a while. They did a tour with Cro-Mags and COC, I think 4 or 5 years ago. Excuse me.
Edit.
But yeah, I've been getting into a lot of instrumental stuff. You know, stuff that I can, you know, when I'm tattooing or drawing and stuff like that. It's just that ambient, you know, doom and gloom kind of in the background. And, you know, I grew up listening to Ringworm.
Yeah.
Earth Crisis, you know, those guys. They were hardcore, you know. Not less, more metal, but they're still one of my favorite bands.
When you could say metalcore, like you say Cro-Mags, I think of that as metalcore, not the crap that's out now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Metalcore. But that's a different subject, different day.
Right. That'll be next month.
Don't get me started on that, man. So how can people contact you, Facebook, website, and where can they find you in Phoenix?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm at Gypsy Rose Tattoo. You can Google Gypsy Rose Tattoo Phoenix, Arizona. It'll come up. You can find me on Instagram. My name is just Mike Fight on Instagram. Facebook, it's M Fight after the Facebook slash. I mean, you can Google my name and all those things will come up.
Right.
I'm not on pretty much anything else. I'm mostly on Instagram. A lot of my new tattoos go there. But you can always email me. It's MikeFight@ME.com. Of course, it's the Apple geek,
right?
Coming out again. And yeah, that's about it.
All right, I appreciate your time, man.
Definitely, it's been just great talking to you, and thanks for having me.
Thanks, stay geeky, man.
All right.
All right, we are back to episode 6 of Metal Geeks. Thank you to Mike Fight for coming in and doing the interview with us. It was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to have to check out my local area here and see if there's anybody who does something like he does. You know, goes around.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely. Go to the 501st. We'll put a link in the show notes at msrcast.com for this episode, and we'll link to his Facebook and his website and what he does, and we'll link to the 501st. And he's going to have some cool pictures that we're going to be able to put on the site.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited for that, man.
So you definitely going to be getting the tattoo?
I am definitely going to get it, yes.
Very cool.
There's no doubt about it. I love the Day of the Dead stuff and combining it with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I already got it. I already got spot picked out on my leg.
Really? You doing the whole leg thing?
Yep. But no. One leg, it's halfway done already, so I have a lot of tattoos, by the way.
Yeah, I only have one.
Maybe we should take some pictures one day, and some of them are pretty geeky.
Yeah.
I do have a zombie Deadpool tattoo that I got last year from that shop.
That's awesome.
Pretty geeky, yeah.
Well, I'm planning on getting some tattoos. In fact, I was just discussing it over the past weekend with my other half, and I'm pretty certain I'm going to actually have a leg sleeve as well.
Your other half? Huh? Is that your left or your right half?
It'll probably be my right half.
Okay.
Because I have a tattoo on my forearm, but I'd much rather have them on my legs.
Yeah. I only have them on my upper arms and my legs. I don't really want to do besides that, do more than that, because if I ever get a job where I have to cover them up, I want to be able to, you know?
Right. Well, so. Mine's sitting right down in the middle of my forearm, so.
Let's see it.
No hiding it.
Let's see that.
It's a spider.
Oh, yeah. You are Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know, right? I've had it since I was 23.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's the last year, huh?
Yep. I wish.
Yeah, no shit. let's get into some metal talk, my friend.
Okay, man. Well, you went to an awesome show this past week.
I did go to an awesome show, and it wasn't as awesome as I wanted it to be, though. Yeah, the Paradise Lost Catatonia Devin Townsend show was here last Tuesday, and on our way to the show, we find out that Paradise Lost was not playing.
Mm.
That was so sad, man. Hearts were broken. We were really looking forward to seeing Paradise Lost. Apparently, Nick Holmes, the lead vocalist, got some kind of throat infection.
Right.
And was unable to play. They were in town. They were there. Because my buddy Jeff, who was actually Muerte Roja on Facebook, listens to the show as well, got me a poster signed by all of Devin Townsend Project, some of Paradise Lost, Catatonia.
What?
So that's awesome. Really, yeah, I appreciate that. So they were in town, but they weren't able to play. The only good thing to happen out of that is the other headlining bands got to play a little bit longer. So Catatonia played a little bit longer, and Devin Townsend Project played a little bit longer. And Devin Townsend Project played the baby song from Synchestra, which was quite lovely. And they said it was their very first time they ever played it live. But you know, bands say that kind of shit all the time. If you go to the MSRcast website, I actually did a review up of the show, and there is the video footage of that song played from Houston at the bottom of the review.
We got to get you a flip cam or something. Was that all recorded with your
No, I didn't record it. Somebody else did and put it on YouTube. So yeah.
Well, I have a flip cam here, so I never get to use it. Might have to.
Oh yeah.
To send it your way.
But Catatonia was good. They always put on a good show. I'm not saying anything negative about them, but you know, it's Catatonia. You know what you're getting into.
Right.
They don't put on the high energy show like Devin Townsend Project does. He came out there and broke into Super Crush, and man, that everybody that was there to see him went ape shit crazy for that guy. he knows how to keep a crowd in the palm of his hand and then crush them and then let him go for a while and bring him back. And man, it was an amazing show. And it was my first time seeing him headline, because the last time he came was Cynic and Between the Buried and Me. They had a lot of technical problems with his microphone. Mm-hmm. So they only played like 3 or 4 songs.
Wow.
Yeah, this time they played like a good hour and a half, you know.
It's probably also because of Paradise Lost, you know.
I would have much rather seen Paradise Lost, though.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite bands. And I did get to see them a couple years ago when they opened up for Nightwish, whom my wife lovingly refers to as the Hannah Montana of metal.
They really are.
They are. Yeah. Luckily, Paradise Lost was not headlining that night, so we were able to leave when we wanted to. Yeah.
Right.
I did spend a lot of money at the Devin Townsend merch booth, though.
Yeah, I saw it. And everybody who's listening, you can check out the picture of Mr. Kerry Gordon with Sir Ziltoid.
Ziltoid the Omniscient.
The Omniscient.
That's right. He's sitting right here next to me right now. He's protecting me. Yeah, I bought the hand puppet. I've been wanting that for a long time. I had to buy that. I bought a T-shirt, the New Seat Double Deluxe CD, which is freaking amazing. I will have a review for that CD on the website very shortly, I believe. I'm working on that. And I bought a hoodie, because it gets quite cold in my office at work, so... It really does. We have a lot of, you know, TV equipment, so we have to keep everything really, really cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, you get electrostatic discharge. You can.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. It gets very, very cold in my office, so. So, I had to justify it by buying a Devin Townsend hoodie.
That's pretty good justification, man.
Yeah, right? Hey, if I'm going to use it, I might as well, you know, spend the money. It wasn't cheap, I'll tell you that much. Speaking of concert T-shirts, this is something I'm planning to do probably this weekend if I have some time. Everybody heard on the last couple episodes, you know, I did go to the Iron Maiden show, did not buy a tour T-shirt because the tour T-shirts were $40, man.
That's ridiculous.
But guess what I did find at Hot Topic. They actually have Iron Maiden T-shirts, tour T-shirts from this current tour they just finished. With the tour dates on the back and everything for $20.
What?
I am going there. And right now, they have a deal going on. If you buy one T-shirt, you get one half off. So, I got to find a second shirt to buy there.
So, it's like you can't even... It's like we can't hate on Hot Topic now because they're actually giving you a better deal than a band.
Well, yes and no. You can still hate on them because they're very, very trendy and, you know... Yeah, they're very trendy.
Yeah, they're selling Iron Maiden shirts to people who don't listen to Iron Maiden. I get it.
They love their mall metal.
Yeah, I know, right?
All the logos look the damn same, man. They're orange or green. They have like this shadow behind them that's always a different weird color. Oh, man, yeah. They're like they have like one guy designing fucking metalcore band logos now, and he makes a shitload of money, though.
Oh, yeah. And that's where you get the people who say, you know, oh, yeah, what kind of bands you listening to? I like metal. Oh, yeah, you like metal? What kind of bands? You know, Creed. Or
no, it's not even that. It's like that. What, Chelsea Grins? And
oh yeah, yeah.
Just all that. Oh, and they all have to have like four or five words to their name. And
yeah.
All right, time to get off our
soapbox.
Our soapbox
the,
here.
Come the on. Geek box.
The geek box. That's what we're gonna have to call it.
Well,
so speaking of geeky metal, episode 129 of MSRcast was released over the past weekend. And we geeked out.
We did. And a lot of people geeked out with us, so we appreciate you guys listening.
Yep. It was a very fun episode to do, man.
Yeah. Nice theme. It was like...
What kind of bands did we play?
What's up?
What bands did we play, my kind sir?
Oh. I don't even remember last week, man. But...
That was only... Wow.
Well, we played such bands as Entombed.
Yep.
Iced Earth.
The Mighty Misfits.
Yep. And that...
The old Misfits.
What's...
Not the Jerry Only version. That's not really the Misfits anymore.
That other band that you've been totally obsessing over?
Reinkseed?
Yes.
That who you're talking about?
Yep.
We played bands such as Anthrax, Dragonland, Iron Maiden,
oh yeah,
Baal Sagoth, MOD, Voivod doing the Batman 60s theme song, which doesn't get any cooler than that.
Yeah, and another band. I'm serious, I cannot remember even last week, man.
You are right, there was another band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, check it out. Go to MSRcast.com, go to metalinjection.net, go to iTunes, subscribe, listen, love it, like we do, and everybody else out there.
There you go.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun to really be able to geek out on an episode and, you know, play songs that were, you know, influenced or directly based on either a comic book or... movie, video games, we covered a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that Dark Saga song was actually pretty cool. The fact, you know, the backstory to it that you were talking about on the podcast, it was pretty cool.
Yep. That was the first album I ever heard by Iced Earth just because of the cover done by the maestro, Greg Capullo, who is now the artist for Batman for DC.
That's cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking about that, I think, a couple episodes ago on here. I was saying I'm surprised that there's not more artists out there that are working in the comic industry that aren't doing covers for bands.
Metal covers, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, he did stuff for Disturbed and Korn as well, but Iced Earth sort of trumps that, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit, not a lot, though.
Well... And that's kind of a good segue into the whole Sword album that's coming out.
Yeah, I haven't heard any. I actually haven't heard in the teaser yet. I didn't get a chance to listen to it.
It's pretty sweet. I mean, the Sword actually delivers on every single album they put out. They're one of those bands that, I don't know, when you listen to it, you're not going to just listen to one song. You're going to listen to the entire album, you know, and... They do their songs very well. They have a great vibe to it, and they have a really great all around
groove.
Yeah, groove. Absolutely. I'm gonna try to say this album name. It's Apocryphon, maybe.
Apocryphon. I've heard rumors that people that have heard already that it's a pinnacle of their career so far.
Really.
And I mean, I just picked up their last album a few months ago at a half price store. And it's great too, man. I just, somehow it skipped over my radar when it came out.
Well, I mean, I didn't really care. I can't say that because I'm contradicting myself, but, the first album that they put out, was it Winter's, I can't remember right now. Anyways, that was the best one for me. So, although their other albums are well done as well, I'm really interested to hear how this would be their pinnacle. You know, because they've been around a lot of different brains in the music industry, like Mastodon now, you know.
Oh yeah.
So they're being influenced everywhere. And
Metallica really gravitated toward these guys and were bringing them on tour everywhere.
Yeah, that's sick. I mean, when somebody like Metallica grabs you, you know, they start stealing your riffs.
They are here from Austin. They are local, you know. Yeah, right. They are local here to in Texas. They're from Austin, so maybe I should try to get them on the show.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Talk about, because they most of their albums are very geeky concept albums.
Oh so. Yeah, and their new album's coming out October 22nd through Razor and Tie Records. And the most interesting note that I found on it was, you know, the whole segue of comic book comic book artists involved in the music industry. Famed comic book artist J.H. Williams III, known for his work in Batwoman and Promethea, will be doing the cover art.
That's right. I actually have an autographed Batwoman comic book from him.
Really?
He was at a convention a couple years ago.
That's cool. And in one of these YouTube videos that we have, that we're going to have in the music or the episode notes.
Show notes. Yeah. Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm a little scatterbrained. I'm on cold medicine. Give me a break. they actually have like a process of showing you how they've made their blacklight poster that they're going to be setting up with a gift set, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. They actually they're playing the song while you see the manufacturing of it. It's pretty cool.
You know what else about the sword that was really cool? One of my favorite shows to watch on TV is Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations. It's an amazing show. I mean, I love Anthony Bourdain. A lot of people, I guess, he takes a little bit to get used to, but his shows are so cinematically well done. He does a lot of cool visual effects on that show and weird cool camera stuff that really impresses me. I'm a geek for that stuff, but
I'm a huge fan of him actually.
I am too.
He's got this whole vibe to him that if ever
he's punk rock, man.
Huh?
He's punk rock.
Yeah, he is. And I tell you what, if ever any time I could ever get the chance, I would love to have a nice micro brew with him.
Oh yeah,
know.
He actually. Do you know he actually has a comic book out there called Jiro?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I was watching G4, the Comic Con in San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was being interviewed by the guy he played Doctor Who before. He was being interviewed by him, and they were talking about it. It was pretty cool.
So going back to that episode, one of the episodes is the final season, the final tour, what they're calling it. Took place in Austin. It was during the week of South by Southwest, and if you've never heard of that, it's a huge movie. And like 1 week is movies, and the next week is a bunch of, you know, bands playing. I mean, you have like close to like 1,000 something bands playing over like, you know, like a week period. It's a crazy amount of bands playing, and you have big bands, and yet people wait days just to get into these shows. I mean, a lot of people play secret shows there, and yeah, it's crazy.
I know that they've had bands playing there from you know, genres such as that Primus play in. You can have Red Hot Chili Peppers. You could have even hip hop artists show up there. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean a lot of indie stuff, a lot of, you know, underground stuff. It's really, I know like The End Records did a showcase there. Ossuary Industries last year had a. This past year, actually, a few months ago, had a feature show, and a lot of underground death metal bands from, you know, our area played, which is pretty cool. But back to the episode, since it was in Austin, guess who they got on the show? Can't have an Austin show without the Sword.
Right. That's awesome.
So there's definitely some cool live clips of them playing, but they took him to a taco place and did the interview as they're eating tacos. And the Sword, if you go to their website... they have their own brand of hot sauce. It's called the Sword Tears of Fire. Even the band thought it was too damn hot to eat.
Yeah, there's no way I could get that shit then. But I may have to gift it to somebody.
I'm looking forward to it. There's a, if you go to the Google the sword and then Tears of Fire hot sauce, I got brought to a page. And of course, we'll put that in our show notes. And there's a giveaway where you can actually win hot sauce. Whoa, what is it? It's a video contest. Maybe I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
We should do a Metal Geek video of why our mouth should be rewarded with their hot sauce.
But if they make us try to eat it, man, I don't know if I can do that.
That's okay. That's all right. I'll do it.
Oh, man, look at that. They have 9 peppers out of 10 at being hot. Yep. Explosive heat rating.
Oh, yeah.
Description, banned in most galaxies.
Yep.
Is named after the epic final song on their great album, Warp Riders. It's a huge honor for me to make the sauce for them. I don't know who made the sauce for them.
Looks like it's a game with Brian Rush at Tears of Joy.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
It will unleash a supernova of searing heat and rich flavor.
That's so great. And the ghost pepper, Naga Jolika.
Oh, shit, man.
Jolika. I don't know how to say that, but it's funny.
Is there really ghost pepper in
there? Yeah, red habaneros, vinegar, lime juice, salt, ghost pepper, and white pepper.
Oh, man. Ghost pepper is like supposed to be like one of the hottest peppers in the world. I've never actually had any, but I've seen them on all these, you know, Man versus Food and all those type of shows, and man.
I think I may have found a gift for somebody. Cool. Thank you. It was a good idea.
So next bit of news topic for Metal. The lost episode of Metal Evolution is trying to get made. Tell me about that.
Well, okay. I'm going to give you the rundown of everything that I've been reading about, and then I'm going to give an opinion column about it from the mouth of Juan Miguel. I was browsing over Metal News over the last week, and then this thing started popping up in my Facebook feed and on Twitter. And, you know, I overlooked it the first time. I read it, but I overlooked it because I was like, okay. You know, I had kind of mixed feelings about the entire Metal Evolution thing.
Right.
But basically what they want to do is they want to raise money to $175,000 they want to raise to cover an entire episode production of Extreme Metal. Apparently this episode was a little bit too extreme for the TV network. So they came up with the idea to raise money in order to resurrect the lost episode.
That seems like a lot of money for an episode, but their funds are going to cover from the writing and research, travel expenses, which I'm sure will be quite expensive, music and stock footage, photo licensing, editing, directing, mixing, color correcting, mastering, authoring. I know about all that shit, and it is very time-consuming and very tedious work. So it just seems like a lot of money in my eyes, though, for that one episode.
Well, see, I mean, for everybody who gives a contribution, it says here they're going to receive a number of perks ranging from exclusive merchandise to days on set to personalized thank yous from bands that appear in the episode. That could be cool.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean it's going to happen because if they don't meet their goal, doesn't mean you're going to get something from the guys in death. You know, so basically they want to raise this money, and now they have a video of the host giving a speech on, you know, hey, we want to raise money for this. We have an extreme episode. So basically the bands they want to cover, I see the whole idea of covering, you know, you've got, let me see the list of bands here. Let me scroll down here. Sorry about that. Gonna have to.
So it looks like the cheapest you can donate is $5, which will give you a link directly to the episode when it comes out. And the most expensive is $50,000, which is executive producer credit on the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
It says here, Sam will unravel the lineage between extreme metal's divergent branches, death metal, grindcore, and black metal, and meet with the subgenre's most influential sonic architects, such as Possessed's Jeff Beckera, Celtic Frost's Tom G. Warrior, Morbid Angel's Trey Azoth. Well, this one would be cool. These next two would be kind of cool. Emperor's Isan and Opeth's Mikkel Åkerfeldt, which would be kind of cool, but...
I mean...
There's a lot of things that I have problems with in this whole campaign. Okay. Well, first of all, Metal Evolution is... They had some very, very spotty types of, what do you want to call it? I guess, points that they would make in their shows. You know, like when they covered power metal, they didn't cover all the bands, you know.
But, okay, you gotta, they only had 42 or, you know, 48 minutes or whatever it is for per episode. And they tried to cover all the bases, but you can't please everybody all the time.
Right. I can understand that, too.
And, of course, they probably had feedback from...
The network.
Through VH1, through the network, and all that kind of stuff. Like, hey, why don't you feature these bands and not this band? And I'm sure there was a lot of stuff like that. I mean, they did a whole episode about fucking nu metal or whatever it was. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this one, Extreme, they're considering... They're gonna mix death metal, grindcore, and black metal all into one episode, and all three of those subgenres could have their own episode, in my opinion.
Exactly, and that you know, I could understand it if they did that for each episode, but again, this isn't going to be going on a network. This is going to be going on something that's by Metal Evolution only. So the people who are going to be buying the product already know the fucking history. You know, so, like, you're not going to have somebody like...
That's a good point.
You know, you're not going to have somebody who's a diehard Slipknot fan is going to be interested in listening to what Isan from Emperor has to say. The person who would buy that product it would be the person who has been a diehard Emperor fan. You know, so I don't understand what they're trying to accomplish. Because the purpose of these TV shows would be to... have this on TV for somebody who would be browsing it. It may be interested in that, you know, Metal Evolution, you know, like, you know, somebody who DVR shit. But if, you know, just like albums, you can be an indie record label and you can sign a bunch of bands and you can put out a bunch of albums, but it doesn't mean people are going to buy your shit. You know, and it's the same thing with this. You know, I think it's... There's Ziltoid. He's calming me down. His googly eyes.
Look into his googly eyes. Get off your soapbox.
Geek box, sir.
It's all... Get off your geek box. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look into his eyes.
Thank you, Ziltoid. You calm me down. But, yeah, I mean, it's...
Bring him some... Now you need to bring him some coffee.
But it's, you know, it's kind of a dumb idea, honestly.
But you know what? I like Sam Dunn. I like the way he approaches the, you know,
the what?
Well, yeah, he's a scholar.
Yeah. I'll admit that too. He is very good at his research, historical, and his journalistic approach. He is absolutely phenomenal. Right. And he's unbiased, and he's genuine. I like it. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is just...
$5, I think I will donate, because, you know, after... $5 is really nothing in the short of it, you know? I mean, if I can help them out in that way, I mean, I can't really afford to do much more than that, but yeah. $5, you can, you know, donate to them and help them get on their way.
Right. I mean, it's, yeah, I guess maybe it's me being a pessimist. I don't know. Devil's advocate, maybe.
Be nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then again, you know, if it ends up getting made, I probably will watch it just because now I'm a part of this and we have MSRCast. We have to give
Ryan. Input. If you don't pay your $5, you can't watch it.
Then. I know, right? It's like if you don't vote, you don't have an opinion.
Right.
Right.
Let's move on to something else that I was pretty excited about. The Prague Power 13 band have been announced. I've never actually been to a Prague Power. Always wanted to go. I mean, I'm a huge power metal Prague fan. I mean, this screams my name right there, but I have never actually gone to one of these shows.
Really?
But and it's only Atlanta. It's not that far. We should meet up there next year and cover it.
That would be cool. So who
I mean, it's
this?
Probably about the same. It's done by one guy, Glenn Halverson, I believe his name. He's been doing it for many, many years, and, you know, he gets great bands to play. So the bands that I'm excited about, Wolverine from Great Britain. Great British prog band, very much in that Anathema, you know, dream. They're like a cross between Anathema and Dream Theater, in my opinion.
Right.
Great band. Ashes of Ares, who we talked about last week, which is Matt Barlow's new band.
It's awesome.
This band, I'm not sure why they're headlining a Friday night, but Soilwork. Notice the question I had in my voice when I said that?
Soilwork?
But. You know, I mean, I like them. I've seen them live a few times, but I don't really see where they fit on this lineup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other band that I'm excited for is Shadow Gallery. Yeah, great. Underappreciated prog band.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with them, actually.
The last album came out about maybe a year or 2 years ago. Ooh. Yeah, it's pretty killer stuff. And then Saturday, I'm excited for this. All these bands I'm really excited for.
Yeah.
Opening up on Saturday is Reingseed. Yep. This is the first U.S. appearance ever. Let's see, Heaven's Cry, who actually are just, they're a very, very over-the-top power metal band. So I love them. Wolf from Sweden, who are a very underappreciated, another underappreciated band. The lead vocalist can scream his fucking ass off, man.
I wonder if that hurts when he does it.
He puts it back on after he's done, so. Circus Maximus. There's three co-headliners. There's Circus Maximus, who are... If somebody told you they were Blind Garden, you wouldn't know the difference.
Really?
Yeah, Armored Saint. Love Armored Saint. John Bush is the
man. I was
going to say,
is he fronting them still?
Oh, yeah, he's never left the band. Even when he was in Anthrax, he was still part of Armored
Saint.
That's
pretty cool.
And Sabaton are all co-headlining.
Wow.
And if you know anything about me, you know I am a geek for Sabaton.
Indeed.
I'm a Sabba geek, or whatever you want to call it.
In geek.
But yeah, I mean, this might be enough to get me to Atlanta for the weekend for this show.
Really?
Yeah. It's really not that far away. If we plan early enough, airplane tickets won't be that bad, and... We should all meet up in Atlanta and have a fucking killer weekend of some
what's
good metal.
What's the date?
September 6th and 7th of 2013.
Oh, that's pretty far away.
Yeah, it's a year away. I mean, they announced the lineup during the last one, which just ended over this past weekend. So, I mean, this past weekend you had bands such as Redemption and Epica, Primordial, Mayan, Mystic Prophecy, Symphony X. Great. That would have been a great show to see, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we have some work to do, sir. We have to figure out how we can maybe have a spot where we can do some recording.
Oh, yeah. If we go, definitely we will have some live shit going on. Totally. We'll be definitely covering and featuring it. And
that'd be cool.
Stroking it. Well, not really, but...
Could be.
Let's move on to some comic book news. Let's get some geeky comic shit going on.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you guys still, I don't know about you, but I am an addict when it comes to eBay and Craigslist. And
I try to stay away because if I go on there too often, yeah. I can't do that.
Well, I just traded my, I have a tablet, or had a tablet. I traded it for number 16 Daredevil Man Without Fear with the first, I think it was the last time Spider-Man was drawn in that comic by a certain particular artist. Okay. I forget his name. But and I also have an Ultimate number 1 Spider-Man. And so anyways, I'm always searching on eBay, and I just recently bought a you know those superhero squads toys are?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, I just got one that's coming in from China, so that's kind of cool. Yeah. Really? I'll show you guys what I'm going to do with it after I'm done. So I have a crafty idea. But as I'm browsing through eBay, I see in there that they have this fall comic special that's running through the 23rd of September. Now, if you haven't gone on to eBay and you haven't seen this link, I highly recommend going, but only go if you have a lot of money.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah,
like right now, there is a Captain America comic number 1. First appearance of Cap and Bucky. It's $35,000 right now. So, is that it? That's all.
Oh, okay.
And then there's
but to put your bid in, all you have to do is put in $100 more, and you'll get
right.
It.
So I mean, there's a whole bunch of different rarities going on, and first appearances, a lot of apparently there's some figurines too that are very rare that are going to be on here, but it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're an uber comic book fan and you got to have a first edition or a very rare comic, this is the place you want to be right now because they're there. Like this amazing right Spider-Man number 300. It's the first Venom McFarlane. It's running. Yep.
I have that somewhere. Really? I don't have it in that great of condition as that, but
it's running at $381 right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have I don't know, 10 or 12 long boxes full of comics that have, a lot of the shit goes dated back to like the 70s, a lot of Superman action comics. Really? And a lot of stuff like that. Yep.
We've got a couple of flea markets here that I'm going to start hoarding through and rummaging through all their hoarding, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah.
But hopefully I'll find something really cool, a diamond in the rough. But I have a man cave here. It's my geek cave, and I'm going to be decorating it, and I'll have to post some pictures of it or something.
Yeah, once you get that done, let's post some pictures on the blog, on the website.
Cool.
Your back cave.
The geek cave.
So speaking of, you read some of the new DC Zero issues. I've read a couple of them recently, and let's talk about some of these.
Well, you want me to go first, or do you...
Go ahead first.
All right. First, if you've been going on MSRcast.com, you've noticed that I posted a review of Animal Man Zero.
I did see that.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was one of the better newer comics that I've stumbled upon. I mean, I've seen Animal Man in the comic book store, and I never had any interest in ever reading it. But,
right,
you know, as I said in my blog post that, you know, this whole New 52 is geared at pretty much an introduction and an origin of all these characters, because we've mentioned before that sometimes you just don't know. Like, if you go to somebody and say, which Batman comic should I read? Well, do you want to read Batman and Robin? Do you want to read Batman, The Dark Knight? You know.
It can be overwhelming.
And even now with Spider-Man, there's, you know, The Amazing Spider-Man, you've got The Ultimate Spider-Man, you have Spider-Man.
You have Avenging Spider-Man.
Right, so there's just so many different Spider-Men, and it's a little bit convoluted. And
that's the Jewish lawyer Spider-Man.
Well, this is a perfect opportunity for anybody who's getting back into comics or is new to comics and just wants to know something about a character that they've never gotten into before, to jump into it. And I really like Animal Man. I really liked it. I love the artwork. I love the penciling. I love the coloring. I loved the writing. Everything about it was excellent.
That is definitely on my reading list. Just from your review, I want to finish reading. I read the first 4 or 5 pages, mm-hmm. and wasn't capturing my attention. But if you say it does,
it gets a lot better, and it's okay. Actually kind of gory, and I didn't expect that.
Oh,
yeah, good. And you know, it's kind of weird because it's like bubbly bubblegum pop gory. It's weird, but
right on. So another one that you read was Batman number 0, and I read that as well.
Yeah, that was
I. Speaking of Greg Capullo, who did the Iced Earth Dark Saga cover, he did all the artwork in this issue.
Yeah, and it was good artwork. It was really, really good.
The artwork was great. Oh, my dog agreed on that one, too. She liked the artwork.
Was that Snarf?
That was Tully.
Well,
that's right. We do have a dog named Snarf, so yeah, we are a little geeky.
Well, that's...
Let me go ahead and give my review of this issue first. I didn't really like it. Yeah, I mean, okay, here's my thing with the 52. They threw you into all these new, you know, these characters, but they changed them up enough where issue ones that came out last year, you were still confused at what was going on. These issue zeros, DC Zero issues, should be, okay, here's where we fix where we fucked up, and here's the real origin story of these characters that we've changed up on you.
Right.
And you don't really get that here. You get, okay, here's a guy named Bruce Wayne who likes to fight, you know, the Red Hood bandits, and he, you know, and Alfred's like, oh, you should, you know, wear a mask, and he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. It seemed forced and convoluted in a way, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
I got that too. Yeah.
These zero issues should be the definitive, okay, here's the actual origin stories of all these characters that we went and fucked up. Nope, Snarf agreed on that one.
He said Snarf.
That's right. So
what did you think about the way the Red Hood bandits looked?
They're okay. I didn't really have any complaints about that.
Yeah. I thought they looked funny.
I take it you
did. Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like...
They reminded me of a old DC character called Our Man. He had that weird concave, you know, mask, face yeah. mask. And they were just painted red.
You know, and they weren't really Red Hoods. You know, and no. That's kind of not good. You know, if you're going to be called the Red Hoods when you got a street cone on your head, you know, yeah. You should be called the Street Cone Bandits.
And apparently I guess this might be spoiling a little bit, but maybe the leader of the Red Hood Bandits turns out to be the Joker. So
yeah, you know, I'm kind of getting that too, because from what I understand, the Joker is going to be a very prominent villain in all of these new 52s.
Well, he should be.
And apparently he's going to be pretty damn sadistic.
Good. Because they need to bring him back that sadistic way.
And I'm actually the comic book store that I go to, Heroes Haven, mm-hmm. they have this subscriptions, and I think I'm going to get 2 of them. I believe I'm going to get some I think he's actually going to have a Joker comic. I think there's going to be. Yeah.
Really?
And I'm also going to get the Deadpool Marvel Now. But
right on. Yeah. There's a lot of, well, we'll get to Marvel Now. There's a lot of good news coming up. But let's move on to something else I've been reading.
Hold on 1 second. I want to point out this whole Batman and Robin. Did you read any of that?
I have not read that one yet.
This is interesting to me. Because have you ever heard of Damian Wayne?
No, I have not.
Well, apparently, Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Wait. Batman is Bruce Wayne?
You didn't know that?
Spoiler.
Oh,
spoiler, come on.
I just fucked this whole thing up. Well, okay. If you're listening to the show and you haven't read any of these things, I'm sorry, I'm going to be spoiling it. And you should be reading the shit before you start, you know. Oh,
no,
damn it.
Don't tell him that.
Anyways, I don't want to give too much away, but put it this way. There's a pretty neat story arc going on with Batman and the Al Ghuls. So, if you haven't checked it out, read Batman and Robin, issue number 0. You might get a neat little surprise.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Better than the Dark Knight Rises movie?
Yeah.
I think my crap was, too.
Okay, so no.
But neither here
so
or there.
Now I'm done.
Something I just read, this has been on my radar for a while. Is the series Irredeemable. Have you heard about the series yet?
I've heard of it, but I haven't gotten into it, no.
We were at the local library, and yes, I do check out comic books or graphic novels from the library. Actually, when I was there, I was looking through the new release CD, which is strange. For some reason, I'm like, hey, what are they going to have? And they're going to have nothing good. They had Opeth at the library.
What?
They had Heritage.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's crazy. But I checked out the volume 1 of Irredeemable, and I sat there and read it yesterday morning. I was at the doctor's office and just breezed through the whole first, you know, graphic novel, the whole first volume 1. And it was strange because I look up and there was a guy sitting across from me reading an Irredeemable graphic novel. Not the same one, but a different volume.
Oh, really?
I was like, man, what a small world. We both sort of looked at each other. We held him up. We're like, yep. Had that weird little geeky moment with the stranger.
You guys should have stood up and run across the library like on Baywatch.
No, this was at a doctor's office, actually.
Oh, you should have gotten up from at the doctor's office and run across the room like in Baywatch.
And high-fived each other.
Yeah.
But it's a very interesting story. It's basically Irredeemable, the character, let's see. I think his name was Superior or, let's see, Plutonian. The Plutonian character is just like Superman. He has almost the same kind of powers, and the story is told in modern, in current time, very dark, very brooding. The art style is a lot more darker, and they tell a lot of the story in backstory. And it's bright and vibrant and very comic booky looking. Hmm. It's a very cool dichotomy. That the right word? Like, you know.
Yes.
That is the word, yeah. Right? Yeah. So you got, you know, the modern darkness, and then you have like the flashbacks are very bright, and it's a very good, you know, I love the way they did it that. But man, something causes this superhero to go nuts, to lose his mind, and he becomes the biggest supervillain anybody's ever seen. I mean, he kills 4 million people in the first, you know, graphic novel, in the first
Holy
volume.
Holy shit, are you serious?
I mean, he's going around killing kids and killing... He's hunting down superheroes. And, man, it's very, very, very addicting so far. And I went back to the library to go get another volume of it. They only got volume 4. So it's like, they had volume 1 and 4. I'm like, where's 2? I need to. So I'm going to have to either find a way to, you know, start reading these, man.
Wow.
I give it
two thumbs up. There it is. I see it.
But, I mean, it's very brutal, man, in the way. Think about what Superman, if he went crazy and he has his eye lasers.
Right.
And just started killing
people. That's awesome.
And destroying whole fucking countries. It's pretty brutal.
It's kind of weird because I brainstorm all the time. And, I mean, when I say that, I mean, like, I could be in the middle of doing something and then all of a sudden I'm off in dreamland world and I'm thinking of something really stupid that never I end up following up with. But
yeah.
I'm going to go on record and say that more comic books should be geared towards supervillains.
Yeah, it's interesting. That is true.
Because they're, I mean, obviously everybody wants to be a superhero, but you know, villains are always demonized and you're always geared towards being the worst of them, you know, of any character. You always get the good guy perspective. There should be more right. villainous perspectives.
So,
maybe I need to take my art skills and do something with that. So, you hear it now? I'm copywriting it right now.
I'll help you write it. I will be the writer for you. Yeah. We should do it. Seriously.
Seriously. Cool. See, this is what happens. When Carrie and I start talking about stuff, we brainstorm and then it happens. So, you better look out.
So, back to Irredeemable. It is written by Mark Waid, who wrote one of my favorite DC pieces ever, which was Kingdom Come. Have you ever read that? Put that on your radar, sir. It's amazing. But he did a lot of DC stuff. He did some of the early Deadpool stuff, X-Men. He's done Superman, Captain America, Justice League, Spider-Man for a long time. He's been in the field for a long time, and this is one of his character-owned comics that came out. I think it was Boom Studios. Yeah, Boom Studios. So, yeah, I am going to try to search out the other volumes of this, and I think there was only 37 issues total. So, I'll be able to finish up the whole series soon.
Very cool.
I see a point that G's brought up. We'll get to that. Yeah, I had that in mind.
Okay.
Let's move on. I am working on a review of a comic book. I've always done CD reviews. I've done a couple movie reviews before. I've never done a review on a comic book. But I am working on an Avengers vs. X-Men number 11 comic book review. If you haven't been catching up, reading the Avengers vs. X-Men is basically, like the title says, the Avengers are fighting the X-Men, and basically what happens, the Phoenix Force, which, took over Jean Grey and wound up killing her, has come down, it was coming down to Earth to locate Hope Summers, which was, if you've been reading the X-Men books for the past couple of years, she was the Great White Hope, in a way, that Cable rescued and was trying to save, and she was the way the mutants were going to be coming back into fruition, because there was only 200 mutants left in the whole world, and she was basically the salvation. And the beginning of the series, the Phoenix Force was coming down for her, and somehow it got into Emma Frost magic, which is Colossus and magic. Magic is Colossus' sister, Ileana, Cyclops, and Submariner. So the only ones right now that are majorly left is Cyclops and Emma Frost. And Cyclops is going pretty crazy with this power.
Really?
Because it corrupts, completely. And major death in the Marvel universe happens in this issue, and I'm not going to give it away, but it brings me to this point. If they kill a character in Marvel, blah, 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 DC's done it, are they really dead?
If it is who I think it is, I think that the Marvel Now posters have shown that that's not the case. Because,
wow, yeah.
They've killed off Peter Parker in the Ultimate Comics, but he's still alive in The Amazing Spider-Man.
He's still alive in 616, which is the main Marvel universe.
Right.
And I'm really geeky for knowing that.
Yeah, you are. And that's cool. I respect that.
But yeah, if they did kill the character, they if he stays dead, it's a major blow and it's going to cause a lot of repercussions, in which I think is leading up to the Marvel Now reboot. So, it's only one issue left of the Avengers vs. X-Men to wrap it up, and I'm excited for that.
At some point I will be at the the point of when comics are actually coming out that I'm reading, like the Space Punisher. You know, like I have,
right?
I've read 1 and 2, but I haven't read 3 and 4.
Just wait a little bit, and Avengers vs. X-Men will be collected. You know they will. And pick up the graphic novel, the collected edition, and just read, just blow through it. It's a lot of fun.
Will do.
The artwork is great in this issue too. A lot of fire effects from the Phoenix attacking, and you know, a lot of reds and bright colors. It's very well drawn.
Well, I'm gonna have to do that then.
Speaking of Marvel now, there's a couple of series coming out that I'm pretty excited for.
Oh yeah, you've got the Cable and X-Force.
Yeah.
So they're doing two X-Forces.
Right. The Uncanny X-Force is ending right before Marvel Now. So I guess Rick Remender's run on that is going to be over, and it's going to be taken over by somebody else. So they're going to have the new Uncanny X-Force series and Cable and X-Force. Cable and X-Force features... I'm trying to figure out... he controlled basically his old team. Mm-hmm. Back, like, because Cable was, you know, the leader of X-Force for a long time. Characters that they're including are Forge, Domino, who's always been a staple with Cable in the X-Force series, Colossus, and Dr. Nemesis outfit I don't like.
I think it's cool.
I like him when he just dressed in his white, you know, tuxedo-looking suit, and he was just cool like that, you know. He didn't have to be all... So something's gonna happen to him where he has to be wearing this face mask or whatever it is.
Yeah, he looks dark. Like he looks like he's got something that happened to him bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So
there's Cable in X-Force. So I'm just looking forward to that. Cable is one of my favorite characters, and it's being written by a guy. What's his name? Dennis Hopeless. It's his second Hopeless written title in the Marvel Now lineup. Nice. So, the other X-Force coming out is the Uncanny X-Force.
Now, what makes them uncanny? Because, I mean, if you're rebooting something, why would you use the old name in order to create
a new one? Well, Uncanny X-Force only started a couple of years ago, you know? So, I mean... But yeah, you got a point. Why not call it, you know, the Happy X-Force or the Irredeemable X-Force?
I like that. I like the Irredeemable X-Force or the Astonishing X-Force.
Astonishing X-Force would have been cool. But so this new team they've announced so far, team leader, I believe, is Psylocke. And there's a lot of Psylocke fans out there.
She got a pretty cool... figurine in the Marvel Universe series.
Oh yeah. Then we got Storm, which I'm surprised she's not the leader.
Yeah, that's weird.
We have Spiral, who I haven't seen in a comic book in freaking years, man. And Puck from Alpha Flight, the short little Canadian dude.
It's almost like they're doing this in order not Wolverine, to be able to bring these characters into the big screen.
Maybe. I think it's giving them the opportunity, the chance to put characters together they've never had together before and never would really be together on a team.
Yeah, I dig that. I like that idea.
Right. I mean, like, okay, the new Thunderbolt, which is this I'm excited for. Go ahead and tell me about this one. Go tell the reader or the listeners.
Well, let's see. I'm not really that savvy into it as you are. The Thunderbolts, actually, in fact, I can admit now that I have never read a Thunderbolts. But you broke the news, and it is pretty cool that you've got the Red Hulk.
Yep, he's
teaming up with Deadpool and the new Venom. Which is fucking awesome to me. I really love that character.
Flash Thompson, yep. For people who don't know.
Punisher. And isn't that Elektra?
It is Elektra.
So that's a very, very, almost I don't know, bipolar would be the name for it, but that's a very
it's eclectic. Yeah,
it's a crazy
team. You have a lot of people that like to kill people on that team.
Yeah, I mean, just Venom, Punisher, and Deadpool together. I mean,
yeah,
this is crazy.
The body count's going to be pretty high.
The cover art for it just shows you, like, okay, we're here to kill you.
Yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. This is definitely going to be going into my pull list. And if anybody doesn't know who the Red Hulk is, it's General Thunderbolt Ross, who was for many, many years so against the Hulk and trying to capture him, and he winds up as a Red Hulk. I mean, he's a good guy, though, sort of.
Yeah, in his own way. Is. And that's even funnier to me because, you know, like, you've got Venom, Flash Thompson. He's now made the character a superhero rather than a villain. You know, yeah. At times he does snap, though. You know, he'll snap and then right. He'll start killing everything around him. Like, I can't remember what issue it was, but it was around the first one that he had his leg blown off. And he was like, "You took my legs," and the suit got pissed off and started, like, ripping people in half, you know?
Yeah, that symbiote soup, just like, did I say soup?
Yeah, that's okay, though.
The symbiote.
I bet you that would be delicious.
The symbiote suit. Yeah, I know, right? You just keep on eating it and eating it.
Until you become it.
It's just like the Phoenix, man. It's a corruptible forest. I mean, you can't really control it, you know?
Yeah, he can only wear it for a certain amount of time, you know, before it starts taking over him. So it'll be interesting to see, because since that suit is there, are we going to see the Red Hulk in the suit? Are we going to see Punisher in the suit? Are we going to see Deadpool in the suit? Electro in the suit? You never know.
Yeah,
that'd
I don't
be
know.
Cool. I'd love to see the Red Hulk in that suit.
I would love to see Deadpool in the symbiote merge together for a while. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Maybe it'd make him go sane, but
I know, right? Turn him completely opposite. He'd be all civilized. Hello.
Right now in the Deadpool comics, he doesn't have his regeneration power. All his mutant powers got taken away. So he's trying to get him back, but he's trying to get killed, basically what he's trying to do. But he's like, his face isn't all fucked up anymore, so he's like all pretty boy now. And it's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Well,
I'm looking forward to reading it, though. This has definitely intrigued me.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, Spider-Man 700 is coming out soon, and guess what? That might be it for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting out of it, too.
There might not be any... They're not going to get rid of the character,
no.
But Amazing Spider-Man is going bye-bye. So is Wolverine. Wolverine's series is going bye-bye, too.
That's so interesting. I mean, it's probably good marketing for them, you know. But it's kind of sad.
And that cover for Amazing Spider-Man 700 is sick. It's really cool.
Yeah. The I don't know. I don't how many actual comics in a row has Dan Slott written for the Amazing Spider-Man?
Oh, he's been there for a while now, man.
You know, so if anybody's going to end it on a good note, it would be him. You know, I mean, he absolutely sucked me into the entire story and the character. Mm-hmm. He's made me actually kind of obsessed with the character, to be honest with you.
I know.
So
that's good, though. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, did you see my shaker cup that I have? That
I did see that. We'll have to post a picture of that in the show notes, man. That's
yeah,
cool.
I was bored on my lunch, so I took a Sharpie and some white out, and I made a Spider-Man face. So it's kind of cool.
Right on, man. Yeah, too.
So
there's a lot of good stuff coming out for Marvel now that I'm excited for. And I don't know, hopefully it all lives up to the hype, you know?
Well, we're going to find out very soon. The New York Comic-Con is going to be announcing pretty much more news about this superior, whatever superior is for Marvel now, you know? I don't know. like you were saying, that it looks like it's coming to an end. The actual quote from Dan Slott is, "What I can clearly say is that in the 20-odd years I've been working in this industry, I have never done something as big to a character as what we're doing to Spider-Man in 700. So, it's a lot of hype, but it may be just the end of The Amazing Spider-Man, like you were saying. So, unless he turns into Superior Spider-Man, I don't know, but that just seems related to me, too.
Superior Spider-Man could be cool.
Absolutely.
Wow. Right on, man.
So, how long are we running here? It's an hour and 20 minutes in.
Yep, we have a couple more topics to go through, and we're going to hang it up for the evening.
Right on. So, by the way, before we get into these video games, I did get to actually fiddle around with a Vita at Best Buy.
All right. What is your initial reaction?
Okay. So you're talking to a guy who has never owned any handheld game system since Game Boy Color Advance. Okay. So being able to hold that in my hand and see like the power of this little device was kind of overwhelming, honestly. You know.
Did you like the way it felt to your hand?
It was cool. I mean, it was kind of like a tablet in many ways, you know, because of the touch screen.
Yeah.
It was very comfortable, though. I mean, just, you know, being able to, there's yours. You have to display it and gloat and make me wish I had one.
No, not gloating.
Now, I can tell you, I really enjoyed playing it. I played Hot Shots Golf. You know, I'm pretty simple about my games. If I get involved in a really detailed game, I get sucked in and I get trapped and I can't get out. So, I really like the format. You know, the layout of the device, the triggers were perfectly fitted for my hand. You know, and I loved playing that. Wipeout 2048. That was fucking awesome. It was
like I said before, the Vita is a powerful little system. It's a great little system. There needs to be more support from third-party games and basically really better games on the system. It's not going to survive unless they support it.
Yeah, and I noticed that in Best Buy in the display they had Madden. You know, that was cool that they had Madden, but I didn't see NHL. You know, and I didn't...
Right, I mean...
That would have been perfect.
Right now, for the Vita, it's been out for, what, maybe 6 months now or around that? And it's only maybe 20, 25, something around that. Not a lot of games. And a lot of them are ports, and they're not very good.
It's really weird. It's bizarre.
It is a powerful little system. They just need to learn... They need to program for it and make better games for it, or it's going to die.
And that's unfortunate, because it really is a good system. But anyways, I'd like to get it, but, you know, I don't want to drop $300 on something that might fail. I learned my lesson when I bought a Dreamcast.
Hey, I still love my Dreamcast. Still have one hooked up upstairs, actually.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Speaking of new system... Guess what was finally released information about?
The Wii. Nope, yeah, you're the wrong. Wii U.
No, yeah, you're right. Wii U always sounds like PU to me, but
Wii U.
Like it's gonna be. They know it's gonna be a stinker.
That sounds like a stinker.
So yeah, I don't know, man. It's coming out. Let's see, October or November. November 18th in America, European version, Europe, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand on November 30th, and December 8th in Japan, which is strange that it's coming out in America before Japan, a good 2 weeks before Japan.
That's
strange.
Backwards.
It's usually, that's backwards, man.
That's interesting.
It's coming in two models here, basic and premium. Basic gives you, you know, it's pretty much not much, you know.
Right.
For $299, you get the basic, which comes with 8 gigs of memory, a console, gamepad, sensor bar, HDMI cable, and an AC adapter, which is surprising because no system right now that comes out comes with an HDMI cable. You have to buy that separately.
That's true.
So it's interesting that they're including that in there. But, I mean, you can get an HDMI cable for cheap, though, you know.
Right.
And the premium, which is $349, it comes with everything I just mentioned, but it comes with 32 gigs of memory, a console, gamepad, sensor bar, a charging cradle, and stands for the console and gamepad, and a video game. It comes with Nintendo Land, which is going to be packed into the premium one. And that's $349?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I don't need this right
that's
now.
That's a lot of damn money.
Think about it this way. Okay, PS3 and Xbox 360. That's what the Wii U graphically is going to be comparable to. And those systems have been out for at least 6 years already. So by the time the next version of iteration of PS3 and the next Xbox come out, which is rumored like next year or the year after, this thing, the Wii U, is only going to be on the shelf for 1 or 2 years.
Right.
Being a competitor, a modern competitor to these systems that are out there right now. And these systems that are out there right now, they've had 6 or 7 good years of programming to get the most out of it.
Right.
You're not going to get that much out of a new system.
So are they marketing this according to the tablet type controller?
Yes, I think so. Nintendo has the name behind them, so it's gonna kick ass. It's gonna do really well. It's gonna sell a shitload of systems, mm-hmm. you know. But I mean, look how many people, everybody and their fucking mom and their dog had a Wii.
Right.
They knew how to market, because the Wii was never marketed for hardcore gamers. It was marketed for people that just are casual Facebook gamers,
right?
You know? So, you know, the Wii U, I don't know, how are they going to market it? Are they going to market it towards the casual gamer? Or are they going to market it towards the hardcore gamer? The hardcore gamer is not going to care that much,
right?
Why would they buy a $400 investment, $350 investment for something that's, and just save up their money and buy the next Xbox, the next PS3 in just another year?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because Xbox is going to be putting on a new system.
You know they are. I mean, there's rumors floating around everywhere that they're working on it, of course. But I don't know. I mean, the only other good thing Nintendo has working for them is name recognition in their characters.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a new Mario game. Everybody wants a new Zelda game, blah, blah, blah. Is that enough to really sell the systems?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I mean, they have a lot of games that are going to be on it, and I'm actually watching the Marvel Avengers Battle for Earth right now while we're talking.
That same game is coming out for the Xbox Kinect though. Soon.
Oh, that's the same.
So
game.
I mean, it's the same. It's basically the same game.
I hate that. I did not like the perspective in it.
Yeah, I did not like it either.
I mean, it looks neat. Like if you were doing it from a third person, but first person, I do not like it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, just looking at the lineup of games, I mean, I'm looking in. There's games that are coming out for other systems that are already on other systems. In Nintendo first party, you have Nintendo Land, which is, you know, not that. It's like the Wii Sports built, you know, type of game built
right.
in.
Yeah, this is interesting.
You got new Super Mario Brothers, Ninja Gaiden 3, which is being done by Nintendo, which is weird. You know, and then Pikmin 3, their other big game. It's not enough.
Well, this is interesting about the Avengers game. Sorry, I just finished watching it. It actually has Spider-Man in it. Yeah, it
does.
Spider-Man and Venom.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. But yeah.
So there's our my opinion on the Wii U.
Yeah, I mean I don't know. I'm not in the market being able to buy that right now. Anyways, so I can't buy a Vita and risk it, let alone a Wii U. Wii U. Sounds like that's what I would have to say every time I said it.
Wii I know. U. You know. But there is a new PS3 coming out, new PS3 model at least. Have you heard about this yet?
I have not.
It was announced at Tokyo Game Show this past week. The much rumored PlayStation 3 redesign is coming out. It's the PlayStation 3 Slimmer.
Yeah.
It's slimmer than the Slim that's out now. It's much smaller than what's out there available now. It's gone on a major fucking diet.
That's weird. Why do they do that? It doesn't make sense to me. Why would you put your money into manufacturing this instead of, you know, putting out a new system?
Because they're saving money on it. They've figured out how to produce it and make it cheaper to mass produce. And why not release a new version of it? Get more people to buy them. It's a way to reinvigorate the system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ugh, too many systems.
But I'm trying to pull up the information on the redesign, the actual versions coming out. So bear with me just 1 second. We need the Jeopardy music playing in the background. Nope, that was wrong.
Damn it.
All right. So I did find out some information. It's a slight increase on the pricing floor for the PS3. Right, because right now you get it $250 for a 160 gigabyte. Mm-hmm. Let's see. 250 gigabytes is going to be $270. And it's going to come with a copy of Uncharted 3 Game of the Year Edition. And the $300 model will be a 500 gigabyte drive and will come with Assassin's Creed 3 on October 30th. So, and there's two different colors. You can get the normal charcoal black or classic white.
Did they say any prices on them?
Yeah, the 250 gig is $270 and the $300 for the 500 gig.
It's not too bad.
No, it's not bad at all, really.
See, now I'd be willing to do that.
I would spend the money that you would spend on a Vita, which is $250, spend it on the PS3. Comes out September. That's 5 days from recording of this show. That's next week.
And I just sold my scooter, too, by the way. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Did you sell it for enough to buy a PS3?
Just about, yeah.
Well, I think your answer is clear. And my dog keeps on agreeing with you, man.
Just because she knows.
See?
Awesome.
There she goes again.
Yeah.
Definitely get a PS3, man. There's a lot of killer games out there that you need to be playing. I know we've harped on this before, but the God of War collection is right up your alley.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to need to get that.
Am I boring you now?
It's just my body thinks it's time to go to bed. I'm telling it no.
It's not time to go to bed yet. So I did pick up a new video game this week. Borderlands 2 came out on Tuesday, and been playing the fuck out of that game.
Now, did you go to the midnight release, like you said?
I did not go to the midnight. I was planning to, but I did not. I wimped out on that.
I don't blame you, man.
Me and my wife, both got a copy of the game. And we spent almost all of day yesterday after not working, after work, that is, playing the fucking game. Because we have two different systems, and we have two different TVs.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty geeky. I'll have to take a picture of our setup that we have. It's cool because we were able to play in the same game together and not have that, you know, horrible split screen.
Right.
And we're really excited because her brother and my niece both have the game, and we can't wait to all be able to play together because it's four-player, single-player game. You can four people can all play the single player game at the same time. It's they just jump in and jump out type of gameplay. It's amazing that way. The game is bigger, better, but still has the same complaints I had in the first one. They didn't fix too much. It's not really a lot of complaining, but if you don't level up your guy and you try to fight characters that are enemies that are higher than you, you get your ass handed to you on a silver platter. A lot.
I've never even played the first one. Yeah.
Really?
I am so out of loop with games, man. I used to be really, really into them, and then I started not being into them.
We need to step it up a little bit for you, man.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Forget all that working out bullshit and staying healthy. Go play some video games.
Which, by the way, I got some really awesome protein powder the other day. Plant-based protein.
Does it have what plants crave, electrolytes?
It has pea protein, cranberry protein, and hemp protein. Yeah.
Really? It's pea protein. That's not... I don't want pea protein in my drink.
And it's great. Anyways, yeah. Yeah, you're true.
Does it really give you a lot of energy?
It does, yeah. Yeah, it's...
Good. Maybe I need to try that, because what I have is not working for me.
What are you taking?
It's whatever I find
at Walmart. Oh, yeah, that's why. I got to get you some.
Yep. I know. That's your thing. You know all about that kind of stuff, so...
I'll find you the right one. I have connections. I have an ex-professional wrestler to consult, so there you go.
There you go. So back to, before we finish video games real quick, back to Borderlands 2. We're going to have a review on the site pretty shortly. One of our new writers, Hakan, is actually working on that right now. He's been playing it more than me, so looking forward to his review and really getting in-depth and into more video game reviews, man.
Yeah, especially since, the co-host here doesn't play very much and still got his Xbox Live hooked up,
That's
right.
I'm just
wasting money on it, man. I don't have a ladder, and I had to work Saturday, so.
Excuses. So let's do a little movie and TV news, and I think we'll call it an evening.
Well, I know you've already been outspoken about it with me, about the new RoboCop.
I do not like it. It's...
Yeah, it's exactly what you're saying.
Do you ever seen a video game called Crisis? That's what the character looks like. RoboCop, it's not RoboCop, man. I actually watched part of RoboCop on TV the other day, and it's iconic.
Yeah, the outfit was the costume of the original RoboCop is something that they should not have altered.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, modernized it a little bit, but the new costume, and we will post a picture of this on the blog for the show notes of this episode. It looks like it's sort of painted on. It doesn't look mechanical anymore. It looks just like, looks like shit.
You know what? When I looked at it, the first thing I saw was the Dark Knight without ears in a cape.
Yeah. They're just trying to modernize it too much, it looks like. The movie might be great.
That's true.
But we don't
know. I'm looking forward to seeing Michael Keaton as the villain. He's a really good actor. And I love his roles that he plays, and he's hilarious. So
he hasn't done anything in a while.
He did
What's
that movie, The Other Guys, with Will Ferrell and
Marky Mark.
He did a pretty good job on that one, but it'll be interesting to
see. That's right, I forgot he was in that.
TLC songs, it was hilarious. But
yeah, that's right.
And then other Michael Keaton news, you see that. Isn't that weird? Both of the movies we're going to be talking about have Michael Keaton in it.
Isn't that
weird?
It's a... It's like it was almost playing.
No, I totally didn't mean to. When I honestly, it's totally coincidental.
So, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies author Seth Graham Smith, who just did which I haven't seen yet, the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
I haven't seen that yet either. And I'm, actually, now that you mention it, I'm going to see if I can get it this weekend because I loved the book.
I don't think it's out on DVD Blu-ray yet. Soon, but not yet.
Don't tell anybody.
Okay. Okay. he's on board to write the script for Beetlejuice 2. With the intention, important word here, intention of bringing back Michael Keaton as...
Yeah, you know, and I think he's the only one that can play Beetlejuice. I don't think there's...
No, wait. Oh, you said it three... We've already said it three times.
He's standing right behind me.
Oh, he is.
Well...
Zill Target will save you.
Well, you know, I don't know. There's nobody else that's out there, honestly, that I think could play Beetlejuice. The only person I could think of that would be casted and that would be awesome as Beetlejuice would be Jack Black. I think you could pull it off.
I don't agree with that. I like Jack Black. He does get a little overused and annoying sometimes. But the Beetlejuice is Michael Keaton.
But if they were to cast somebody new, I don't know. Maybe.
If they cast somebody new, it couldn't be a sequel. It would have to be a reboot.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's not cool. But is Tim Burton involved in this anyway?
I don't think so.
Then it's not going to be.
I'm not sure
good.
Because from what I was reading in an article, they were talking about how, you know, it's just talk right now. So normally talk is, you know, obviously not set in stone, but...
Right. Until the movie's in, just like a video game, until it's on the shelf, it's not real. Until this movie is in production and shot, then it's not real. They could talk all they want, but...
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I don't know when the actual New York Comic Con is, but they're going to be apparently showing a trailer of Iron Man 3.
Really?
Yeah, I read that when they were doing something at some board meeting and they snuck it in and didn't, and the people in the meeting had no idea that the trailer was going to be in it. So everybody was shocked. So
speaking of new trailers, I saw on the Apple trailer mm-hmm. website today, there's a trailer for the Hobbit movie that it looks tremendous, man. It's like a 2.5 minute preview. Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that.
I saw it. I wish everybody else could see that. You're like, oh. Oh. Well,
And going back to some Marvel news, this is really cool.
What's that?
They have hired somebody, a horror director named James Gunn, to rewrite and direct Guardians of the Galaxy.
Interesting.
Yes.
I did not know this.
It's great fucking news. James Gunn. A little off the wall. Which is great though.
It'll be interesting to see how they put this into the movies. They've already actually started pushing the figurines in the stores. I saw just the other day, I was looking for...
The box set.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep, I've seen that.
I should have picked it up. But anyways, so they're pushing for it, and it's going to be interesting. Are they going to go, like, kid with it, or are they going to go dark with it?
I don't know. He's probably going to go dark. I mean, the rumors that I'm hearing is they've already... I think Jim Starlin, who created Thanos, has said in the press that the character of Thanos has been greenlit to be in Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers 2. So they're going to they're all going to fit together somewhere.
Man, somehow. I can't wait to see that.
Marvel knows what they're doing, man.
I cannot wait to see that.
And if you haven't seen Super, written by and directed by James
Gunn.
Yeah, I
did see that. That was dark. And, oh my God, dude, when that girl got her face blown off, I did not expect that.
And, yeah, it's a very dark superhero movie. And, yeah, it's starring with the guy from The Office, Rainn Wilson.
Yeah, he was actually, yeah, no, are you sure? Because I think that was the guy from, he was from Superbad, the cop from Superbad. They look alike.
No, Super was Rainn Wilson. Had Rainn Wilson, Ellen Page, and Liv Tyler.
I remember Liv Tyler.
Yep.
Man, I'm...
The bolt, he had that, and he just go around whacking people with his bolt cutters.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I always get those two confused. Yep. They look a lot alike to me.
And James Gunn got his start in the business directing and doing stuff for Troma.
Really?
He's the uncredited director of Tromeo and Juliet. And, yeah.
Wow, he does look a lot like him with those glasses on. Holy shit.
And James Gunn just wrote a video game that I played through a few months ago called Lollipop Chainsaw. It was about a zombie game where you were a cheerleader and you had these weird, super crazy powers, and it was a lot of fun. It's definitely, if you like weird off-the-wall games, yeah, definitely play Lollipop Chainsaw.
It sounds so awesome, though. Just the name.
So I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I sort of was already, but now that they got James Gunn involved, it really steps it up a notch.
I don't know anything really about them, so it's going to be interesting for me.
Hold on. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, let's go back into it now.
So I don't know really anything about the Guardians of the Galaxy, so it'll be interesting for me overall, period.
We'll have to, I haven't read an issue in a long time, any of the comics, so I'm definitely going to, you know, read up more about it before the movie comes out, just to be familiarized with the characters. I mean, you got Rocket Raccoon, so.
Right. And what's that little tree inside of a planter? Do you have any idea who that is?
I don't remember his name, but I know you're talking
about.
So cool.
He's actually a part of the figurine set.
Yep. Grodd, I think, might be the name. I can't remember the name. There's a character in that called Grodd. Okay, yeah. You're talking about Bill Hader. Yeah.
They kind of look a lot alike.
They do look alike.
They have the same hair.
They do. I can see why you got them confused now.
Have to post that into the show notes.
Yeah, I think we will.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, okay. I won't go into too much detail with this, but because we got to start breaking down the show here. But I definitely wanted to talk about Dexter because it's coming out September 30th.
Still on my list of shame of never seeing an episode. No, I have not seen Dexter yet.
You're talking to a guy, and this co-host here had not had cable for almost 5 or 6 years. So there was a lot of TV and a lot of stuff like, you know, video games that I didn't get to catch up on because I didn't have that luxury. But, you know, 4 seasons went by of Dexter, and I had not seen a single episode. So I start watching season 5. And season four and season 5 totally sucked me in. So, yeah, no, it was 5. Because we went back and watched season 4 and then whatever, the rest of them. So anyways, season 6 is going to be premiering on September 30th on Showtime. Okay. I'm an uber fan of Dexter. Everything about him is amazing. He is the ultimate serial killer. And I don't know if you know anything about the show, but he's basically, he was adopted and by a cop who teaches him how to kill without getting caught. But basically what he's doing is he's going around killing people who are getting through the loopholes of the system. So, I mean, it's a pretty cool plot anyways, but season six is starting off where season five left off, where, you know, if you don't, listeners out there who don't know the story, his sister works on the police, in the same police department as he does, on the same team. And she has no idea that he's a serial killer. But in the last episode of season five, she's walking in on him killing another serial killer. So she is now exposed to the fact that he's a serial killer. So it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes off, because they started developing as a love triangle and all kinds of really weird and fucked up things that started happening in season five. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens in season six. Apparently hell's going to break loose. Like he's going to snap, and I don't know if he's going to kill his sister or not, but, I have season one and season two. We've been watching everything. Dude, I highly recommend picking it up, and you know, you can get it for $8 on Amazon, or you could just find it on Hulu or Netflix. Find some time, okay, man.
It's definitely, if I have time, yeah, it's definitely on my to-do list, my TV bucket list, so to say.
Yeah, and you know, dude, it'll actually, it's very, very inspiring. The writers are some of the most incredible writers that I've seen on any TV show. And I genuinely mean that, not just because I'm a fan of the show, but, you know, I mean, you can watch any damn TV show and you can see who has control of the show, and whether it's going to be the producers, whether it's going to be
right. Yeah, the network. I know what you mean.
These guys, they allow the writers to do it. And it was really awesome, because in season five, the actors didn't even know if they were going to get killed off or not. And that's awesome.
Nice.
So everything in that was, you know, is geared for the writers. So if you want to be inspired, that show will definitely do it.
Right on, man. I wanted to talk about, we picked up some Blu-rays recently, and I might wait to talk to about them on the next episode, a little bit more in depth, but we picked up The Walking Dead season 2, of course. Only got the regular version, didn't get the killer, you know, zombie head version.
Have you
seen that? Oh, to open the box, that you have to actually stick the screwdriver in its eye to open the box.
Oh, that's awesome.
it's pretty awesome. We picked up one of my wife's favorite movies this year, Cabin in the Woods, and the only reason she likes it so much is because of Joss Whedon. But have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
No, but I heard a lot of good things about it.
Holy crap, dude. It takes every horror movie, you know, idea and puts it all together into one movie, and it's a lot of fun. You have to watch it.
I don't have to watch it alone, because anything to do with isolation in horror movies totally gets my idea of comfortable living conflicted with my other half. She doesn't like the idea of living in the middle of nowhere in the woods, and I would if we could. I would live in the middle of a forest.
Yeah, don't show her any movies where people get killed.
Yeah, like Strangers. Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that fucked it up.
I mean, this movie, I mean, they borrow every kind of, you know, idea from horror movies. I mean, there's a lot of Evil Dead influences and very funny. And there's a lot of weird surprises in the movie that you'd be like, what is going on? This is... It totally flips itself over on what a horror movie should be. I mean, one of the main characters is, Chris Hemsworth, who's of course Thor.
Right.
And you have, Bradley Whitford from The West Wing is in the movie. And I don't want to give away too much. You just have to watch the movie, and I don't want to give away any spoilers. That would be giving any of the plot points
maybe
away.
I'll have to watch it tomorrow on my day off.
I think I'd definitely put that on your list to watch tomorrow, and let me, and maybe we can do a review
That'd
next
cool.
episode.
I'll have to look forward.
Yeah. I also picked up the Indiana Jones adventure. I'm sorry, the Indiana Jones trilogy, because there's four movies, but there's only really three movies on there.
Really?
No, unfortunately. Of course, it has the last movie on there. Temple of the Forbidden Skull or whatever.
Temple of the Should Never Have Been Made.
That one. Temple of Crystal Skull or whatever it was. But I'm excited to break this open and actually go through some of my Indiana Jones are some of my favorite movies of all time, and actually see these remastered in high definition and watch all the. I'm really excited for all the behind the scenes and making of stuff they have.
Yeah,
on
it is
there.
Cool.
So looking at the time, I think it's time we need to say goodnight and bye-bye.
Yep, it's midnight my time. So it's been another yep. awesome show. Thank everybody for tuning in and. Checking us out, and to all you new followers on Twitter, thank you. All the new likes on Facebook, thank you as well. Our numbers are growing. The Geekazoid apocalypse is among us.
the Geekazoid
yeah,
army
there you
is
go,
growing.
The Geekazoid army.
There's many ways you can help us do that too. Tweet about us on the Twitter that you're listening to the show and you like the show, and get all your friends to retweet about us. And you know, we gave away a video game this past week, and you know what, I have some more games to give away. So if we find you on Twitter talking about Metal Geeks at Twitter, we might find you and give you some more free video
yeah.
games.
And check out the website. It's www.msrcast.com. And check out,
and soon to be MetalGeeks.net, yep.
and check out all of the reviews and all the new posts from the new writers. If you wanted yep. to follow us on Twitter, it's at the Metal, or is it at the Metal Geeks or at Metal Geeks?
Nope,
at Metal Geeks.
There's no the.
And then we have the Gmail. That's what threw me off. Gmail is actually yep. themetalgeeks@gmail.com. If you want to send us hate mail or say, you know, you guys just rule, we'll read your email on the show.
Either way, we'll read
yeah,
your email.
That's right.
Find us on Pinterest, where we find in pin. I guess that's what it is. I'm not really familiar with it quite
yeah.
yet, but the wife is taking care of that on Pinterest. And the coolest thing you can do for us is go to iTunes. Subscribe, click like, and then give a review. Let people know what you think about the show, and that's the only way we can get the army.
And tell us what you don't like about the show, because that gives us some input as well. Because,
like we mentioned before, constructive criticism
yeah,
is good.
As much as you know, it hurts. Don't hurt my feelings. Yeah, right. No, but seriously, you guys.
But sometimes hurting
yeah,
feels good.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes it is, but dead serious, guys. We love doing the show, and it's one of the coolest things. It totally sparked a passion within me that I hadn't had in a while. So, you know, I love doing this, and I know Carrie absolutely loves doing this as well. And we'd really appreciate it if we got some feedback from you guys. And we know you listen. We
That's
see
right.
the numbers. But numbers don't count to me, and I just want to know if you guys really thoroughly enjoy the show, because we enjoy and love doing it. So we
that's
we
right.
just want the feeling to be mutual.
I agree with everything you just said.
So
thank you, my friend, for joining me on another geeky adventure.
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. Well, see. I geek out at every episode. I always do some really stupid geeky thing, and it always ends up horrible, but cool.
You need to come up with some better ending sayings here, my friend.
Yeah, your burrito's done.
Ah.
Would you like?
No, it's enjoy your. It's enjoy your burrito.
Would you like fries with that? See,
bread's done.
Bread's done. Hot bread.
All right, guys. Thanks for staying geeky with us, and we'll see you next time. Enjoy your burrito.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.